Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We're currently going through the book of Matthew with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave will be taking us through Matthew chapter 9, verse 27, ending in verse 38, where we see that no matter what we are facing today, and no matter how dire the circumstance looks, God wants us to keep knocking and keep seeking Him because He cares for us. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in a message entitled, Merciful Jesus.
My boy's been healed, not the way I wanted to be healed, but he's been healed. Now it's done over. It's time for me to keep going. You got a marriage problem, but the divorce papers aren't finalized yet? Keep praying. You got a kid that's out in the world in the pig slop that's been out there for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 30 years? Keep praying. They're still alive. You're still alive. Keep praying. You got a sickness, the doctor gave the prognosis to somebody that you love and care about so greatly that they are fatally ill, that they're not going to have life much longer until they take their last breath. Keep praying. Those doctors only practice medicine. This is the great physician, the great healer, Jesus Christ. So there's that there for us to see. Because otherwise, you look at this portion of Scripture, and what you have is this: Jesus walking home, tired, two blind men being led, probably carrying sticks, chasing after him, and he's not turning around to answer them. It almost seems cruel. But then you think about it, you think, oh, I see what Jesus is doing here. And he's doing something else, by the way. Around this scene where Jesus is, it's like a parade. People are everywhere. There are religious leaders there, Pharisees, scribes, Sadducees. And they are haters of Jesus. In a few minutes here, they're going to be the ones who say, oh, it was by the devil that he did what he did. Jesus is wanting those experts of the Old Testament, fully understanding the title of Son of David, fully understanding what the Messiah was supposed to do when he comes on the scene. He wants them to hear the words of the two blind men who really aren't blind at all, who can already see. The testimony, the rebuke that this is him. See, Jesus is always trying to woo everybody into himself. I'm preaching to a crowd this morning. It's packed in here. I think for the most part, I got people that know who Jesus are and believe who Jesus is. They're like, yes, I have faith in that Lord that you're preaching about. But I think there are some here, husbands of wives who believe in the Lord, wives of husbands who believe in the Lord, boyfriends, girlfriends, sons, daughters, friends. You're only here because of some obligation. So you're sort of a skeptic. You're not here this morning like, yes, heal my marriage. Yes, heal my kid. Yes, bring my prodigal son. You're only really here because you have to be here. Your arms are sort of folded. Your eyes are sort of, you know, squinting, and you're sort of just trying to check this whole scene out. You're not really sure what you believe or what you're going to do with Jesus yet. Listen, even you, Jesus is after. Just like he was this crowd, because you, if you read your Bible and you're a thinker, there's constantly contention with the religious leaders and Jesus. And you would almost think that Jesus has like ought for these guys. No, he's constantly trying to woo these guys unto himself, as he is those who are blind and know they are blind. Please see that this morning. So as he's walking, their behavior, persistent faith. As he's walking and they're chanting, it's a testimony and a rebuke to those who are onlookers scorning. And he gets to the house, Peter's house. And he finally turns and he says, do you guys believe that I could do this? It's kind of like, well, of course they do. Look what they just did. Look at the journey they just made to get to where you are. They must believe. But he wanted to draw out of them this profession of faith. Because there are many ways to please the Lord, but none apart from faith. Yes, Lord, we believe. And based on their pronouncing of his ability, he makes them whole at his word. Can't franchise the ways of Jesus. In some stories in the Gospels, as this is the biggest sickness that was healed, he would spit in the person's eyes. In some instances, he would take mud and he would put it on their eyes and he would touch them. In this instance, he speaks it. You can't take Jesus and put him in a little box called denomination and say, now work this way. Jesus can work and move however he wants to work and move, as we see here in Scripture this morning. He can do it however he wants to do it. You can't franchise his ways and his healing abilities. He makes these men whole, and their eyes are opened, and the first thing they see is the face of Jesus. Their eyes are open, and the first thing they see are the eyes of Jesus. How many of you guys like hymns? There's some good hymns out there. Y'all know the hymn, Blessed Assurance? Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste, glory divine, heir of salvation. Da 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 da. Born of his spirit, washed in his blood. And then it's like, this is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Great, great hymn, right? Listen, is that for my singing or because my singing is over? Which one? Fanny Crosby, late 1800s, early 1900s, she wrote that song along with so many other hymns that if you're churched, you love and you enjoy, you treasure. Great, great doctrine wrapped up in these songs. Now, after she was born, 6 weeks after she was born, she went blind. So according to her, there's no memory of any time that she ever saw anything. 6 weeks old, I mean, there's not much going on up here other than give me milk, right? Or I need my diaper changed. So she has no memory of ever seeing anything before. And through her life, God used her in so many ways. She was such a gifted artist. And at the end of her life, one of her greatest fans came to her and said to her, Fanny, what a shame it is. God gifted you and granted you so much of your heart's desires. What a shame it is that you can't see. And she didn't say it to her to be mean or taunting, but rather just, you know, truly, I feel bad that you can't see. And God's used you in all these other ways. And she said, oh no. She said, my blindness is God's greatest gift to me. She said, if I could do it all over again, she said, I would design my life to be this way, because when I can see, the first face I will see is the face of Jesus. These men open their eyes. Their sight is restored, and there's the face of Jesus. Then Jesus does something. I mean, time is ticking. It goes faster second service than first service. Jesus does something here that is sort of strange, and it leads us to our third and final point. We won't cover the whole chapter this morning. He goes like this. After they're healed and after their sight is restored, there had to have been a moment between them and Jesus. He then, the King James says, straightly charged them. But the classical Greek is, there's a sternness attached to the vocabulary. It was, now don't go and tell people. Don't go and broadcast to everybody what I've done. And it's kind of like, Lord, we came in here by assistance. We came in here by being led. We came in here with some type of, right, blind people have sticks and, you know, mechanisms that they use to sort of direct where they are. I mean, do you want us to go back out with sunglasses on and sticks and fake this thing, Lord? I mean, that would be ludicrous. So I look at this thing and I think to myself, Lord, what were you saying to them when you said this to them? Because I can't. My personality doesn't allow me just to repass it and go to the next verse. I find this strange. So I chewed on this and I meditated upon this. And I think that I can share these things with you by the permission of God's Spirit. I think, first of all, the obvious, the theologically correct answer here is this. I think Jesus was saying to these two blind men, hey, listen, I'm much more than a miracle maker. This is only a part of who I am. This is only a manifestation of who I am. This is only an opportunity for people to see who I really am. I am the Savior King. This is an opportunity for people to understand that I am the Messiah. But the Messiah, not to come and heal man of their physical infirmities, but listen, of their spiritual sickness. I've come to this world to die on the cross. I came to this world to rise again. My greatest deed is man's greatest need. And that is for my blood to be poured out and to wash away the sins of the world. That's the fullness of who I am. And if you guys go and you broadcast to everybody that Jesus can heal them of whatever they've got going on, that's all I'm going to be known as. Because when man is suffering and man's going through it, all they want is relief. So if you go out and you tell everybody, oh, there's somebody here that can open your eyes, that can loosen your tongue, that can raise you from your sickbed, all I'm going to be known as and advertised as is a miracle worker. And that's only a small, in the big scheme of things, insignificant portion of who I am. I've come to conquer the grave. Secondly, theologically correct speaking, I think that Jesus was also doing this, crowd control. Everywhere he goes, there's swarms of people. He's not going to be, just from a practical standpoint, he limits himself to human abilities. He's not going to be able to get from place to place and finish the Father's will. If everywhere he goes, people are getting on their megaphone screaming, Jesus is here, Jesus is here, come and get healed. I mean, it's going to be impossible. But just aside from all of that, what I think personally there is for us to take away from this is that there are some things that Jesus does for you. Jesus does to you, Jesus does in you, individual Christian, that are meant to just be between you and him forever. You understand what I'm saying? He gives us all a testimony. He saves us, he delivers us, he restores us, he then begins to use us. And a lot of what he does in our lives is a story. It's a platform for us to stand on and to broadcast to everybody, look what Jesus can do. But then there are things in your life when you walk with him for a period of time where Jesus will minister to you, where it's always meant to stay between you and him. I think maybe 95% is for everybody's benefit. Then I think there's a small percentage, maybe 5%, where Jesus says, now this just stays here. Now, if you're new to the faith, you haven't been walking with the Lord long, this is probably just kind of going over your head. But if you've walked with Jesus for any length of time, you probably know what I'm talking about. Like, there are things that the Lord has done in my life, and I'll read the Bible, and I'll get ready to prepare a message to share it with you, and I'll think, Lord, I'm going to share this with them, and I'll feel this closed door. No. Or I won't even think about it when I'm preparing, but when I get up here, I'll think about it. And then I'll feel like the door just shut in my face, like I'm not supposed to tell you guys something. And the Lord will minister to me. This was just for me and you. Sometimes God does that with all of us here today. See, here's what I want to explain to you, and I'll use the text to apply it. If these two blind men go back to their blind colony where they live, because blind people were beggars, they couldn't work in this time and age. They're going to go back to a place where everybody there is still blind. And if they go back and they say, look what Jesus did for me, to those people who Jesus didn't do that for, that's going to be extremely obnoxious. That's going to be extremely painful and difficult. It'd be like this today. Jesus answers your prayer in your marriage. Jesus answers your prayer in your prodigal child, in your sickness, in your need for a job, whatever it is that you bring to him. And you go back when you leave here and you get on Facebook, you get on Twitter, you get on Instagram, and you just blow it up. Is there something wrong with that? Not necessarily if you feel at peace to do it. But if you feel like God's Spirit is saying, don't do it, it's probably because somebody out there that knows you and knows the circumstances and they have similar ones going on, they can't handle it and you're going to stumble them. You're going to hurt them because they haven't received what you have received. It's not all of the time. This is sort of a secondary point in my message this morning. It's not one of the main points. It's to a select few of you this morning where God's Spirit is ministering this truth to you. There needs to be a sensitivity that when God intervenes and works in your life, not always does everybody have to know. Not always is it to be rejoiced over in front of everybody, because it can come off boastful and hurtful to those who are still waiting on the Lord. There's a sensitivity to God's Spirit we need to develop as his children, because sometimes Jesus says, don't go tell everybody. Now, obviously, because when something seems ridiculous concerning Jesus, it probably is ridiculous and isn't true. Obviously, what Jesus is not saying here is if somebody asks you, did this lie, there's going to be a noticeable difference about you. But you don't have to be obnoxious in your celebration of what I've done for you. And that's a word for some of us here this morning. I've had it happen before. When we had our last child, Harper, and I believe that's a prophecy this morning, our last child, Harper. Thus saith the Lord. She's like having two kids. That's our last child, Harper. I remember I'm not a big poster. If you follow me on social media, I'm not a big poster. I post rarely. I really just don't post often. And I remember I wanted to post a picture of my daughter and I remember I felt this impression. There was somebody in the church at the time who had just lost their baby. And I remember I felt this impression, like, you don't need to post it. You could celebrate and rejoice right here in the hospital room with Shauna. When your in-laws come and your parents come and your siblings come and your best friends come, you can rejoice with them. I'm not saying you can't, but it's going to crush somebody else's spirit, what you've been blessed by. Does that make sense? Sometimes it's just this. You don't got to go and tell everybody. Just a small point to give you this morning. But what do? They go and tell everybody. See, I wanted to title my message this morning, follow the lead of these blind men, and then they went and did this. They ruined it for all of us. They went and they told everybody. But they don't end on a bad note, they end on a wonderful note, and that's where we'll end this morning. Watch this. Third and final thing that is exemplary to us this morning is this: their benevolence. They're beautiful in that they allow themselves to be led to Jesus, their behavior in that they were persistent in their faith in Jesus, and then their benevolence toward mankind because of Jesus. Watch how this closes here. It says this: but when they were departed, they spread abroad his fame into that country. And as they, verse 32, went out, behold, they, I believe the two blind men, they, it says here, they brought to him a dumb man. That's classical Greek describing somebody who can't hear and somebody who can't speak. They bring to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb man spake, and the multitudes marveled, saying, it has never been seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said, he cast out devils through the prince of the devils. And Jesus went in all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. And when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. Reason is because they fainted. They were scattered abroad as sheep without a shepherd. Then he said it to his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Here's what you've got to do, guys. Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers, listen, to tend to the harvest. These guys here, they're benevolent, kind, loving, caring about those who were suffering the way that they once did. They go back to this man who's demon-possessed, who's dumb, he can't speak, he can't hear, maybe living in a neighborhood right next to where they were from. And they say to this man, you've got to come to Jesus and experience from Jesus what we've experienced from Jesus when we too were led to Jesus. That should be what all of us do, okay? The plain and simple point. We should be benevolent to our family members, to our friends, to our coworkers. We should say, hey, listen, you don't want to come to church? You don't want to come to where Jesus is every Sunday, every Wednesday. It makes you feel like the place is going to burn down if you come in here. How many of you, that was your line, right? I hear it all the time. I thought the place was going to burn down if I came in. Still up, thank God. But some people, that's what they think, that's what they feel. So guess what? We're having Easter service at a school this year. So you can say, hey, let's go to Spencemore High School on Easter morning. Why? What are we going to do? Just look at the plaques of who was great athletes and stuff. Oh, there's music in here. Let's go in, you know, and then throw them through the doors. We'll lock them. But we could bring people to Jesus and say, look what Jesus has done for me. If Jesus can do this for me, Jesus can do this for you. They're benevolent. The greatest act of benevolence that we can demonstrate towards everybody that's in our lives is to tell them and to take them to Jesus. Amen. Here's where we leave. Team, you can come. Lead us in a closing song. I had to scratch the ending of these verses, 35 to 38. It's a bridge. Chapter 9 and chapter 10. Remember, when Matthew's writing, he doesn't say, oh, my hand's starting to get numb. I need a break. Chapter 10, we'll go there tomorrow. Everything's happening as it's all lifetime. The translators put the chapter breaks for us to know when to stop. And it's not working right now. But we're going to stop. Chapter 9 goes right into chapter 10, so we'll use it as a springboard next week. But how it ends is wonderful because he's merciful to Jesus. And the obvious lessons are for all of us here today. But what Jesus does in the closing of all this is what we should do as we close this service today. He leaves And when he goes, he sees multitudes of people. Like the blind men, like the four men carrying their friend, like the woman with the blood, like Jairus, whose daughter was sick and died. He sees more people. He's not overwhelmed. He's not like, I've already done my good deeds. I've already done my share. He sees multitudes of people, and he sees because his head's up and he's looking. It's a word of exhortation to us this morning. Pick your head up from your phone. Stop swiping it every 3 seconds. Walk into Starbucks with your head up. Walk into Wegmans with your head up and start seeing people like Jesus saw people that are hurting and breaking and are desperate for his touch. You can be sure that Jesus saw those two blind men even though they were behind him. Your mother ever tell you, hey, I got eyes in the back of my head? My mom will still do that. She'll be 20 feet ahead of me. David, why am I didn't do it? I got eyes in the back of my head. I can feel you doing something. Jesus has eyes in the back of his head. He could see those men. He could see those people. He could see that woman before they even got near to him. He was always looking for individuals and crowds who needed to be ministered to. But he was able to see because he was looking. So many of us aren't looking. We're saved. We're going to heaven. We went to church on Sunday morning. We're good till next week. Listen, here's the exhortation as we leave. Let's pick our heads up. Let's look around. Let's say, Jesus, who needs your touch like these two blind men? Lord Jesus, who needs your touch like that demon-possessed man? Lord Jesus, who needs your touch like I once needed your touch? Who's hurting? Who's broken? The Lord had compassion for those people, which is a greater word than pity. Pity is like, oh, I feel bad for you. I hope things get better. See, I'm going to the cafe to get a donut and coffee. Compassion is this. I can't go get a coffee. I can't go get a donut till I do something for you. Your heartache is becoming my heartbreak. Your sadness, your pain, I want to bear it on my shoulder too. What can I do for you? I'm going to make a meal. I'm going to go to Wegmans and get you a gift card. I'm going to pray for you right now. I can't just go about my day like nothing's wrong because my heart breaks and bleeds for you. That was Jesus. And his word of closing to his guys then is his word of closing to his guys and gals today. Pray, first of all, and ask the Lord of the harvest, to gather laborers, soldiers, men and women who will stand up and share the name of Jesus with that hurting world out there. Pray and ask God to do that. Amen.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday at Calvary Chapel Westside. Our Sunday morning services are 9 and 11 a.m. We'd also love for you to refuel with us at our midweek prayer service on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Calvary Chapel Westside is located at 2407 Union Street in Spencerport, New York. If you'd like to know more about CC Westside, you can log on to our website at ccwestside.com. That's ccwestside.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Vimeo, where you can access videos of Pastor Dave's teachings. If you'd like to contact us, simply give us a call. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. Again, that's 585-352-3150. Or send us an email. We would love to hear from you. Our email address is radio@ccwestside.com. That's radio@ccwestside.com. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It is our prayer that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ. My blood and water.